Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Dr. Reddy's Laboratories Limited Q2 FY18 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shaunak Savla. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi. A very good morning and good evening to all of you, and thank you for joining us today for Dr. Reddy's earnings conference call for the second quarter ended 30th September 2017. Earlier during the day, we have released our results, and the same are also posted on our website. We are conducting a live webcast of this call, and a transcript shall be made available on our website soon. The discussion and analysis on this call will be based on the IFRS consolidated financial statements. Now, to discuss the business performance and outlook, we have the leadership team of Dr. Reddy's, comprising Mr. Abhijit Mukherjee, our COO, Mr. Saumin Chakraborty, our CFO, Mr. Anil Nambudripad, who heads our proprietary products business, and the investor relations team. Please note that today's call is a copyrighted material of Dr. Reddy's and cannot be rebroadcasted or attributed in press or media outlets without the company's express written consent. Before I proceed with the call, I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor language contained in today's press release also pertains to this conference call and the webcast. So now I hand over the call to Mr. Saumin Chakraborty, our CFO.
Thank you, Shaunak. Greetings to everyone. I'll begin with key financial highlights. For this section, all the amounts have translated into US dollars at the convenience translation rate of 65.30, which is the rate as of 29th September 2017. Consolidated revenues for the quarter at rupees 3,546 crores, or $543 million, grew 7% sequentially, however, marginally declined 1% year-on-year. The sequential growth was primarily driven by part normalization of the channel inventory for our domestic formulation business and the improvement in the PHAI business after a subdued quarter one. This was partially offset by the continuing pressure of price erosion in our North America generics-based business. Revenues from global generic segment is at $438 million, and PHAI segment is at $87 million. Consolidated gross profit margin for the quarter is at 53.3%, sequential improvement of 170 basis points. Gross margins for global generics and PHAI were at around 59% and 20% respectively. Sequential improvement is largely attributable to the overhead leverage benefit. SG&A spend, including amortization, for the quarter is rupees 1,103 crores, or $169 million, representing a sequential decrease of 6%. A part of the improvement reflects our ongoing efforts on optimizing spend base. SG&A spend is at 31.1% of sales now, as compared to 32.8% for Q2 FY17 and 35.5% for Q1 FY18. R&D expense for the quarter is rupees 418 crores, or $64 million, representing 11.8% to revenues. Lower spend was primarily on account of deferment in some of the milestone payouts towards the balance part of the year, and this does not reflect any change in our R&D strategy. On an absolute scale, we expect to close this financial year in line with the previous year level, that is around $300 million or so. EBITDA for the quarter is rupees 689 crores, which is $105 million, and is around 19.4% of the revenues. During the quarter, we generated $130 million of positive cash flow from operations. Our net debt to equity ratio stands at 0.30 as on 30th September 2017. The effective tax rate is around 26.5% for the quarter. However, we anticipate it to be in the range of 23 to 25% for the full year. Key balance sheet highlights are as follows. Our operating working capital decreased by rupees 100 crores or $15 million during this quarter. Capital expenditure for the quarter was rupees 281 crores or $43 million. Foreign currency cash flow hedges for the next 12 months in the form of derivatives for US dollars are approximately $240 million, largely hedged around the range of rupees 65.9 to rupees 68.3 to the dollar. In addition, we have balance sheet hedges of $322 million. We also have foreign currency cash flow hedges of ruble 600 million at the rate of rupees 1.131 to the ruble, maturing over next 6 months. With this, I now request Abhijit to take through the key business highlights.
Thank you, Soumen. Greetings to everybody and a warm welcome on this earnings conference call. Let me take you through the business highlights for each of our key markets. At an overall level, we have seen recovery on a sequential basis, and we believe that we will be able to build on this further. Please note that in this section, all references to numbers are in respective local currencies. Our North America generics business revenues for the quarter are at $221 million, a decline of 4% on a sequential basis, mainly driven by accelerated price erosion of the base business. The generics market is undergoing significant structural changes leading to adverse market conditions in the short term. On the other hand, we have had a good year in terms of new launches with eight product launches in US and two in Canada. Many of these launches have been limited competition space and expected to contribute meaningfully to your business. We are on track to achieve our target market shares for key assets like liposomal doxorubicin, bivalirudin, with revenue recognition reaching peak potential by end of next quarter. As you may be aware, we launched sevelamer carbonate towards the end of second quarter, with revenue recognition expected to begin Q3 onwards. This has been yet another significant launch for us in limited competition space, and we are in the process of ramping up our market share. The remaining part of this fiscal is expected to remain busy on few new launches, as we continue to work with agency on the approval of our assets and remain optimistic on two to three launches per quarter. Our Europe business recorded sales of €32 million with a year-on-year growth of 35% and a sequential growth of 10%, supported by new product launches. As you may be aware, this quarter we faced marginal supply issues following the German regulatory audit at one of our commercial facilities in Bacchicoli. We are now focused on addressing the concerns as per committed corrective and preventive actions. Our emerging markets business performance has been consistently improving on the back of new product launches, entry into new markets such as Brazil and Colombia, and supported by stable currency. Russia business grew 13% YOY in local currency. Performance in other markets has also been in line with our expectations. We are working towards strengthening our portfolio across emerging markets with a focus on biosimilars and leveraging our strong institution business portfolio. We remain optimistic of building this momentum further, leading to a healthy and sustainable growth in these markets. India business revenues are at 637 crores and grew 2% YOY and 36% on a sequential basis. After normalizing for the adjustments post GST implementation, the like-to-like YOY growth would be around 10%. While there has been gradual pickup by the channel, the inventory holding hasn't fully recovered to the pre-GST level. The PHAI business posted revenues of $86 million and has grown 20% on a sequential quarter-wise basis, on the back of improvement in customer orders and supply situation. The business has undergone strategic realignment in the last couple of years, with focus shifted to value-accretive segments. We believe that this shift will help sustain the growth for the business in the long term. On the proprietary product business, we continue to execute our strategy of maximizing our in-market portfolio. In FY18, we saw a significant increase in the prescriber base for our lead products, Zembrace, Cernivo, and Cryonex. Our near-term imperative is to accelerate commercial business path to profitability through volume growth initiatives and managed care strategy for this business, and at the same time, optimization of portfolio through selective licensing out strategies. We are also focusing on the development of late-stage high-value assets that have the potential to be transformative for the business. Before I conclude, let me reiterate on our three key priorities as laid out by our CEO in the last earnings call. First, strengthening our manufacturing and quality system. Here, the key task is to systematically implement our quality management system. We continue to make meaningful progress on this journey. For our critical sites, including the sterile injectable plant in Dwara and oral solid plant in Bhajpalli, the remediation activities and continuous improvement efforts to strengthen the quality processes at these sites are on track. We are putting our best efforts to resolve these quality issues in the next few quarters. Second, focus on building a healthy pipeline of complex products. For our near-term pipeline assets, pending approval, we are actively engaging with the regulatory authorities to address their concerns and taking all possible actions to secure timely approval and launches. Third, optimizing our cost structure. We believe we have made a firm start here and progressing well on the journey to realize significant cost savings in coming quarters. With this, I conclude my section and open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Participants are requested to limit their questions to two per participant. Time permitting, you may come back in the queue for a follow-up question. We'll take the first question from Manoj Garg from HealthCo. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Congrats on the results. It's good to see the business start to stabilize. So I have a few questions, and I'll just go through the questions and then go back on mute. One, can you segregate the 11% revenue decline in North America into volume and price? Two, I believe that you have a target action date for the 20 mg glatiramer acetate product in November. What are your expectations there, especially in the wake of the recent Mylan NATCO approval? And then three, post the EIR at Srikakulam, which was, I think, about a month ago, what's the status of getting that backlog cleared there? And did you have any correspondence regarding glatiramer as a backlog at that site?
On the 11% decline, we would probably send you a breakup of the price and volume, but this is the value which has been reported. Maybe we'll come back. Let me take the other questions which you mentioned. The second one was the target action date on glatiramer. It's 10th November, that's all right. And for 20 and sometime in March for the 40 mg. I think the last we've heard that post-Mylan's approval, our file is in active review. Beyond that we can't comment, and so we hope to hear something next month in terms of certainly there will be follow-up questions. Some of those questions will also be on the mostly on the we guess on the BMF side, which will be applicable for the 40 mg as well, and hence to that extent some of the work would be done ahead of the tariff of 40 mg.
I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt. I didn't catch that. You're expecting questions on what aspects of the file?
On the asset is very heavy on the drug substance side. So I think that being common, what I mentioned is, I think some of the questions which we receive would be also be applicable to the 40 meg asset. Your next question was on the sites. I think the you also asked about a Dwada site or Srikakulam site?
I asked about Srikakulam. So, the EIR was issued about a month ago, I think on September 28th. So just wanted to see what the status was, starting to get the backlog cleared there, and then the follow on to that was, is glatiramer also filed out of there?
So there are two dosage sites in Srikakulam. So both have been through in the audit, and one is an oral solid site, and the second one is topical and few other dosages. This is not the site from where glatiramer has been filed. So the manufacturing has always been on. We earlier had an EIR, the audit happened, and so the approved status continues, and Girendal has been launched from this site, so that continues. This is the finished oral dosage site. You also asked about the German inspection. I think we have provided details about that. This was the Bacchipoli site, which we had, series of adverse observations, and we are at the moment we've responded, and we are, implementing the commitments we made to the authorities. We'll have to go through another audit, maybe sometime in Q4. We won't exactly be able to let you know the date. And then we will see where it goes from there. But we're putting in concerted efforts to make sure that we remediate all the observations.
Okay, this is very helpful. Thank you for the color. And then perhaps if later on in the call, if you're able to provide that that breakup in terms of volume versus price.
Okay, all right. Maybe Sonak will respond to you separately on that. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Just one question on the market. Several companies have mentioned that with the price erosion happening in the U.S., companies are reaching a pain point where returns are less. I just wanted to get some understanding that if you look at your portfolio, very roughly, what would you indicate that what percentage of portfolio now, if you just put a threshold as return of capital or let's say some return as 10-15%, what percent of our U.S. portfolio will be making returns less than that? Just to understand that when company says a pain point, is it just making lesser margin versus what they were making earlier, or we come to a point where we're not even covering our cost of capital?
I don't think we are, or maybe any other companies at that point when return on capital is getting challenged. I mean, where we are is compared to the industry, the margins industry were used to in the past, has taken a very severe hit. The various companies have messaged the erosion. Base business is eroding and will continue to erode, I think, with more, the consolidations happening. Plus, once in a while, we would have that, I think Teva pretty much mentioned that in their con call that there will be assets for every company and for them as well, which are more meaty, which will once in a while take a higher hit. So return on capital is, at least for established companies, is not that big an issue, I would say. But certainly for someone putting up greenfield sites, starting from scratch to approval, that's going to be a challenge. Can't speak on the behalf of those companies.
Yeah, but just to ask this further, so my question was not on your total portfolio in the U.S. Let's say, you know, of course, there will be some products like, for example, Doxil or Dasatinib, which are pretty good products. But even if the products which are, let's say, in quarter four or quarter three in terms of returns, even are we not making money on those products, or should we assume that if you're not making return, you are simply exiting those products already?
Yeah, but true for every company, I think, and you know, the moment you not making money in the sense, you know, the moment even the gross margin drops below a certain level, I think you know, every company tends to exit. At least organized companies, I think, and it's true for us as well. Most of true for us.
Sure. The second question was on the India growth. So even if we take adjusted growth of 10%, given restocking this quarter, doesn't this number looks a little lower? We have seen a mixed trend, some companies reporting 20% like-to-like, most of the guys have been around 12-13%, so somehow this 10% number looks a little low. What happened in this quarter?
No, I mean, look, firstly, I wouldn't challenge your observation. I think, are we supremely happy with the existing state of business? No. Certainly, there are some parts, some divisions where there is scope for improvement. But where from the lows of last quarter, I think there has been substantial catch-up. But overall, India business, I think we have some more work to do. We certainly have some more work to do. Certain areas we are doing well. Oncology, MGN assets launched, getting great deal of traction. And certain parts of the business, gastro, et cetera, doing well. Some other parts of the business, historically, Dr. Reddy's have not been very strong. I think there is some work to do for us in the India business. Yes.
Sure. If I could just ask one question to Swamin, sir. Sir, employee cost was down 3% year on year this time. Historically, we have seen our employee cost increasing. Just wanted to ask that, what's the outlook here? Full year number, if I look for the year, we had a one-off lower sales in the quarter four last year. But like to like, what kind of employee cost increase should we build in on an annual basis?
So this year we have focused a lot in terms of, you know, optimizing our cost structure, and that includes even the manpower cost. The kind of increment which we have given this year is also comparatively much lower than what we or people were used to for the previous years and all. So, you know, there is some part of the manpower cost which is completely performance linked and based on our Q1 performance, which was quite a bit of disaster, you know, there will be definitely to that extent that part is impacted. So we will try to control. So the thing is, the kind of growth we are accustomed to in terms of the manpower cost, we don't expect that kind of thing to happen this year. So which is a healthy sign in terms of controlling. But beyond employee cost overall, the SG&A productivity, we would like to improve. And that's what is something which Prasad also alluded to last time, that, you know, one of the key priorities is, one is on optimizing our cost structure, which are just seeing some early gains on that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So is it fair to understand that the U.S. business seemed muted this quarter despite having some good launches, that, you know, launches like Doxil, et cetera, probably didn't contribute too much into the quarter, and therefore we should expect that to ramp up fully in the third quarter?
So one thing I would like to clarify, that Revlimid we launched on 29th of September, which is beyond the cutoff date for the revenue recognition. So there has been no revenue recognition on account of Revlimid. Okay.
So no, I'm talking about Doctor.
Just can continue to respond. Yeah.
Yeah. Neha, just last part of the question, what was it?
No, I was talking about Doxil, sir, because I would have assumed that would be a good product to sort of start gaining ground in the quarter. Is it fair to assume that Doxil hasn't, you know, contributed at all, or, you know, the contribution is very minimal in the quarter, and therefore we should start seeing an improvement in that contribution of sales as we go into third quarter?
No, Doxil is not insignificant this quarter. Doxil is in double-digit, early double-digit this quarter. And it's been a good launch. Would it build a little more? Could be. I can't comment on that. But it is not not certainly insignificant this quarter.
Okay, got it. And so, second on the cost saving. From what I've understood, we've already seen, if I exclude the DNA, we've seen about 10% cost saving already quarter on quarter. My understanding is that, you know, the cost optimization efforts would be more gradual from your last call. Is it fair to say that a lot of the low-hanging fruit is probably captured in the cost saving that we've seen in the quarter, and this is, we can't build as much as we have or save as much as we have shown in this quarter?
So I'll comment in generality first, and then someone can get add some specifics on that. I think, you'll have to look at cost savings in a broader perspective. I think there is serious effort in, changing the cultural context of our spend base, okay? And we are trying to be diligent and frugal in many ways. The model is changing, not just in North America, in the home country as well. There is, pricing pressure. So we'll have to realign ourselves, and we are seriously putting efforts. Now, it's that's playing out in SG&A, that's playing out in manpower, and that will play out in many other activities. It's being led by a very competent team internally. It's very, very driven by internal managers and showing traction. So beyond that, someone you want to comment on anything on the figures?
Yeah, so some of the things which we have tried to focus on includes manpower cost, includes travel cost, power and fuel, different maintenance and all such things. But having said that, selling cost, there could be fluctuations quarter-wise. Because in some quarter, there would be specific set of activities which would be planned. So, but there is a concerted effort in terms of structural cost, which will, eventually get realized. Some of them may be this fiscal, some of them may be in, next fiscal also. So it will be a continued effort. Yes, I know. Low-hanging fruits are something which would have immediately given us some impact.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for taking the question.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Surjit Pal from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. Soumen, my questions, actually, I was going through your INDS, consolidated numbers. And I have two questions. One question is that if I go by your cost items, and if I see the total expenditure to sales is 90 in Q1 and Q2 it is 81. So quarter on quarter, 8% is quite a big jump in terms of improvement. And if I go further, I see that your raw materials, purchase of finished goods, I can understand your similar thing. But be it raw materials or be it employee cost or be it selling expenditure, be it other expenditure, everything quarter on quarter has down. Optimization is one thing, but how come it has come down so drastically? I mean, if I compare almost 50 to 60 crore on an average item. So that is one. Second thing is that your receivables, if I go by your current receivables, in the last 6 months, from March to September, it has been increased by 411 crore. And if I go by first half year-on-year growth of your sales, that is 42 crore. Could you tell me what are the source of high receivables?
Yeah, so I will take the second question first. Because of the consolidation, customer consolidation which is happening in USA, the credit period, there would have been various ranges. So now the moment consolidation takes place, all the terms goes towards which is beneficial for the customer. So that's why the credit period itself is going up, and any sales in USA where there is quite a bit of chargeback and all, the actual receivables effectively is much more than the credit period. So that has something which has impacted over the year in terms of behavior, but very specifically for the quarter, there is some more receivables than normal, which we have seen in both PSAI business and Russia business, which will get corrected. But the credit period impact in terms of receivables for North America is there to stay. Then
I'm sorry, I want to interrupt over here. What is the current receivable days in U.S.?
So the credit period, you know, earlier there was a range of fluctuation. Now most of the contract, it is now 90 days kind of a credit period, but in effective credit period, as you take the chargeback impact, which you need to pay immediately, it goes beyond 110 days effective DSO. With that, if you take a 90 days, it goes beyond 110 days. And then to come to your first questions, the material cost will definitely depend a lot on the business mix. So that means if GG to PSAI, if there is a variation in the ratio, that will have an impact. And second, you know, there are some parts which are the quality-related provisions which happen from, you know, quarter to quarter. There would be definite fluctuations there.
Uh-huh. If I can squeeze one.
In terms of the other improvement that you have seen, as I was just speaking to Neha earlier, you know, selling expense this specific quarter is low, and which does not mean the other quarters selling expense cannot be higher. As I said, this will be activities which are planned quarter-specific, and specifically for the branded business, there are calendars.
So from the perspective, do you want to mean is that your Sevelamed, where the sales you have not booked this quarter, but cost you have booked fully this quarter, right?
No, no. The sales and cost matching always takes place. The way to do it will be, if you look at on the India standalone and vice versa consolidated, there may be a different impact. So far as the consolidated sales are there, every dollar of sales you have to match with the cost of revenue.
Okay. Abhijit, could you throw some light on Suboxone and Novaring current status?
Not a great deal of change. I think we messaged that in the Q4, we have the TAD for Suboxone. On the litigation side, you're aware, I think we remain fairly optimistic. Let's see where it takes us. So we have responded to the CR about 4-5 months back, I think. In June, we responded. So we'll see how that goes when nearer the TAD date, whether there are some more questions or where. But we remain optimistic on the litigation front. As far as Novaring is concerned, our TAD is in March, anyway, the IP, concerned IP, is expiring in early April or something. So if that becomes irrelevant, so it all depends on whether we'll get approval on time. It's a drug device combination. Again, we have responded a few months back on the CR, and let's see how that goes. So so far so good.
Thanks. I'll get back to it.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Nimesh Mehta from Research Delta Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to know the U.S. GMP status on Bachupali, and after the 483, have you heard back on whether we have a VAI, OAI, anything of that sort? That will be helpful.
So if you recall, we had quite a few observations in that site. So we received a query from the agency, or specifically on one observation dealing with investigation and validation, and we provided that data about a couple of months back, if I recall correctly, And then we had received another follow-up to the same question, some more data requests, and which we have compiled, all that is going out towards the end of this week. Beyond that, we'll see how that that sort of goes. So we would, you know, we just sort of in the process of compilation of that the data, and we'll send it out. So out of all the observations, one specific observation, they had more questions, which we are responding, which is in the area of, you know, basically validation and investigation.
Yeah, but have we not heard anything from USFDA on the regulatory status of the facility? I'm specifically asking whether we have got an OAI of that sort. Sorry?
So till the questions, it normally happens if there are more observations, there questions on observations, till the questions are satisfactorily answered, we will not get, you know, that we were going through. So the questions we have to answer and then if the agency is satisfied, then it sort of approval starts from the site.
Okay. Any timeline you feel, you know, by the time we'll be able to clear? And also, if you can give some color on the number of approvals dependent on that facility over the next 18 months, more so to the important ones, important approvals from the facility, that will be helpful.
So specific timing on anything we are dealing with the agency, it will be difficult for us to comment, because our job is to turn it around on the committed date sort of engage with them as and when you know, any questions come up. As far as you know, approvals and launches are concerned, we have 8 so far for North America and 2 from Canada. It's, why I'm mentioning Canada as well, because clubbed under the same geography, and you know, give or take you know, maybe six more or so till end of the financial year. Specifics we'll not get into, we'll see how that unfolds.
Go ahead, please.
You are asking from Bachupally.
I'm talking the full company, right? But I've already.
I was asking about Bachupally specifically, as to how much, I mean, how many approvals are dependent on Bachupally, which we expect over the next 12 to 18 months.
So that that you will not be able to comment. You will have to. I just mentioned that we have another oral solid dosage site. The you know, EIR is with us, and many filings have been taken from that site. Bachupally site was our erstwhile dosage site, we wouldn't be able to specifically give the breakup of what else is pending. But yes, overall for the company, there are quite a few assets between Dwada and Bachupally, that there are quite a few assets which are complete in terms of review, and some of them are certainly you know, reasonably sized potentially, which are impacted because of the GMP status.
Okay. Finally, last one, if I can squeeze, the gross margin, you know, has been a lot fluctuating over the last 2-3 quarters, and I understand the reasons were many. So is this the gross margin, we can consider to be sustainable from here on? I mean, obviously, depending on the product mix, but is there any one-off in this gross margin, or this is kind of sustainable?
Last time also, last quarter, we said that it will improve from Q1, mm-hmm. but cannot hope to go back to a level of, like a 60% kind of gross margin. That will be very difficult because mm-hmm. of the price consumption which has happened. So, one can, depending on the business mix and the new product launches, one can see the range between, say, 53 to, at a very good quarter, it could be around 55 or those kind of level.
I see. But there is no one-offs related to, let's say, the resolution costs or any other thing, right? And that's all I'm saying.
There is a lot of overhead leverage benefit which happens when your sales go down. So the first quarter, because of the overall sales, and of course the GST transition impact in India was a major contributor there, which was low. To that extent, it impacts the gross margin.
Okay, understood. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, you mentioned, you know, 2-3 launches every quarter. I'm just wondering, given all the uncertainty around the sites, both Dwada and Pachupalli, I mean, what kind of visibility you have? You know, can you just take us through, you know, mitigation steps that you would have taken? And, you know, what kind of confidence you have on the key assets which are out of these sites that they will ultimately get approved, even if, let's say, there is a delay in resolution?
So, as I mentioned, that we certainly have a few assets which are with reasonable earnings potential, which are at the moment review completed and unfortunately waiting on the sites. So, the priority on hand is to do a very, very active you know, site transfer, not just for the CNOPs, but prospectively for the important assets, and which is going on as we speak. But some of this impact is we are going, you know, we are already seeing in the current moment, but we would continue to do here onwards much more sort of proactive site transfer. Not to say that this doesn't mean that we are not, we are very, very actively working on the site. We remain, you know, eventually optimistic that we'll be able to mitigate these and go through the audits, but we will always continue to put a high focus on, you know, de-risking, especially the important assets.
Okay. And then, like, if I go with this run rate, like you're talking about maybe, you know, around 15 launches over the next 18 months, how many would you, you know, say would be like high value assets that we should expect?
That would be difficult, as I, you know, same answer which I've been given, because first is the destiny of assets are better known after the, you know, the launches come through or the approval comes through, one. Two, the uncertainty on, you know, the even in the site, in the sets where there is no site issue, uncertainty in terms of what questions you will have and what type of CR you will receive is, you know, has been varying a lot, and, you know, at least from our expectation angle. And so it will be completely incorrect to sort of comment on that, how many would be high value. But the pipeline which we have continues to be very good. It's we have great confidence on the type of assets which we have filed. So let's see how what destiny has in store for us.
Okay, great. And so just one thing on the proprietary product, if Nilsir can answer. I mean, you know, we have talked about, you know, trying to, you know, get the sales there, we have stopped the discounts, etc. It's been almost like a year now, more than a year. So isn't it like for a reformulated asset that we have launched, it's taking just too long to get those sales? And, I mean, you talked about, I think, $30-40 million, both for Sunivo and Zembrace as peak sales. Do you see risk to that, given, you know, what has happened so far in the market?
So let me try to answer your question by first, the first part of your question, which is reformulated assets and performance in the marketplace. First of all, it is not about reformulated or a new chemical entity. It is more around the payer landscape, which is changing in the United States. It's evolving, and manufacturers such as us and any others in the market need to adapt to these changing, to the changing landscape. So again, it's not about reformulated assets. Second, so what that means is that as opposed to in previous years, 3-4 years ago, today the difference is that it takes a little longer in terms of getting listed on formularies. And what we have done with both with Zembrace and Cernivo is that we made significant progress since last year. For example, if you just look at the overall Promius sales as compared Q1 to Q2, we have
made a we have jumped 30% in terms of our revenue. Why that has happened? Well, first of all, volumes, physician uptake has been catching up. Second, in case of Zembrace, we've got coverage with some of the bigger plans. In this case, CVS Caremark has now covered Zembrace. Cernivo, we are waiting for that coverage, some of the bigger plans. So Cernivo is slightly slower than Zembrace, but Zembrace has been doing well. So to your question of the peak sales, it is too early to comment right now because as we speak, we are continuing to get coverage across multiple plans, and we hope that by end of this fiscal year, we will have a significantly better coverage than when we started out. The bottom line to note here is that the business has been progressing, and we are seeing quarter-to-quarter differences in terms of quarter-to-quarter increases and significant increases in terms of sales.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Abhijit, four big TADs, TADs over the next 5 months, so holding your breath, I guess. So are we looking at a blockbuster year next year, or, you know, philosophically speaking, how should we think about the final approval? Would FDA give out many questions to you and then again goes into multiple months, or would it be a shorter period to respond and hence approval getting in quite quick quickly?
Let me try to be as specific as I can within the ambits of whatever we know. Broadly, you know, the two assets I already covered, Suboxone and Novaring, I think we have answered well, but both are not me too straightforward assets. So what question that they would have, we will probably know only when we get the PR. But overall, we feel reasonably good about the way we have responded to the CR, and hopefully should be IS, but let's see. GLATI is a little more of, I mentioned that we have done, to the best of our capability, a very good job, but then there are certainly, this one certainly will have, some questions which we are proactively working on a few things and trying to advance as much as possible. And the rest of the assets, you are not in public domain. We are prioritizing these activities, is all I can tell you, Sameer. We are prioritizing a lot organizationally, trying to sort of put our best scientific minds together to sort of, preempt as much as we can. There is a lot of uncertainty today in terms of how questions are being asked at times and how the sets are progressing, made more complex by the site issues and all that. So beyond that, I wouldn't be able to throw much light whether it will be a blockbuster or a rather average year. But let's see where it goes.
Okay, and more specifically, Abhijit, on Copaxone. Now, I'm talking about Srikakulam API site. Why have we not received EIR over here? And I think the Copaxone API is coming from this site, so does that put the product at risk? And second, follow-on on Copaxone, my understanding is that Teva has got fantastic patient support system and a nurse call center, which is so critical to getting the market share. So would you be having the same?
So let me take one by one. The API, we are going by a two-site strategy. I will respond to your PDB plant, API plant, compliance data. But we are going by a two-site strategy, and there is next to it another site which is we receive EIR, and very soon we are halfway through validation, and we are just sort of updating the file. But coming back to specifically about Srikakulam site, what you've heard from the agency is there is regarding the last specific audit, there doesn't seem to be further questions. And as we had mentioned, the audit had gone well. But there are few questions of further agency wanted regarding details about post WL, some more details. Now those are sort of put together in the form of a questionnaire, and we will probably receive that in about a week or so, and we have a fixed date telecon in the month after, towards third week of December on that, so that we'll answer those telephonically once we receive those, and then we'll see where it goes from there. It's hopefully moving in the right direction. But as I mentioned, we're getting into a two-site strategy for LATI API.
And on the patient support system and nurse call center?
Yeah, so to that extent, I think Mylan's approval paves the way for, we are also absolutely ready. We know the support system. We'll be certainly ready as and when we get through that. But with one more generic coming in, I think that path will be, hopefully smoothened.
Okay, and Abhijit, on your Dwada facility, I thought that you had mentioned that you were expecting a re-inspection end of this calendar. So what's the update over there?
That's by far the most important site for us. And as I was mentioning, assets which are completed review, we are awaiting approval, a few are from there. High management focus, substantial activity going on, some consultants help taken at the moment as we speak. We don't want to rush into absolutely, that's not our priority. We want to be absolutely certain that it's not about, the compliance. It's also about, sterile sites all over the world are, being scrutinized very heavily. So we want to make sure that, the work culture, the way people operate, as much as we can sort of spend time on that and make grassroots improvement, and we are focused on that. Specific question on the timing of audit, more like towards the end of Q4.
Okay, and Abhijit, my understanding is the problem was on the warning letter was for the oncologic block, but why are you not getting approval for the non-onco block at Dwada?
I the way agency looks at it, they look at it one site. So we'll have to deal with, although the other site has not been audited, but we'll have to get through this site to sort of, go through the other one as well.
Okay, one final question with your permission. Renvela, is it still an exciting opportunity because soon after you, Impact and Supply got the approval and maybe a couple of more coming, or do you think this should get a lot diminished?
It is significant and it is exciting. Being the second in front, we have our fair market share. This is the entry, as you can see, is happening in a sequential manner, and it depends on, how the competition sort of looks at it. I think it's still going to be significant and exciting.
Okay, one more. Aloxi, any thoughts on it? I thought it was IP was getting a lot resolved, so approval was coming closer. So any update on this?
So the NBank decision, I think, one of the first things in my morning, one opens up a mail, one is looking at it. Beyond that, what can I say? Anytime, I guess. But we don't know what the outcome is going to be, of course, but, we hope to hear soon enough.
Okay, super. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So question on Doxil. You did mention, would have done about early teens on Doxil. I'm just trying to understand what was NATCO's role here. I mean, the filing is in your name. And what kind of, if you can add roughly, what kind of sharing agreement we have?
So the file is ours, and it was developed. And we probably I mentioned a little bit that we have put in a lot of effort in characterization capability in this company, and these products need a very large amount of characterization. So we played a big role in that in terms of proper characterization and working with the agency to see that the asset gets approved. Specific details of the business deal we won't be able to share, but we are the dominant of the two partners.
Fair enough. And going to Copaxone, is the understanding clear that even if the TAD is there, and as you said, the facility, the API issues us, API facility Srikakulam is yet to be cleared. So what happens, if the TAD is due and facility is still not, so do we get a, what happens really?
Firstly, as I said, that the recent audit went well, and there were no further questions on that specifically. We are answering our questions, still pending questions from the last WL. So, and there is a clear pathway. So let's see what happens. I can't really comment on the outcome, but we await optimistically on the progress of the site. Having said that, as I mentioned, we are certainly, by another couple of months, we have the new API filed in along with the T0 data as well. Then we'll see, depending on how things go, keep both sides live or just rely on the new site.
Perfect. And one clarification on the R&D comment that you made, that there has been some deferment of milestones. So this is related to the Teva. You already paid the Teva piece. So what is this referred to?
No, there will be, a lot of our developments happen to external partners as well. So there will be some which will trigger in a specific quarter. So, and, some activities planning and all. So it is not evenly spread across the year. But as I alluded to, for the whole year, in terms of absolute R&D spend, it will be similar to that of FY17.
Thank you. And Soumen, lastly for you, on the other expenses, you did mention, there has been optimization measures that have been taken. I'm just trying to understand with the, the proprietary product expansion and, new launches that are happening, plus India, Russia. So is this the base and we should build some cost inflation here, or how should we look at it going forward?
Some of the things on, for example, Colombia has already been factored in terms of, because we have entered last year, Brazil also is now whatever we required, we have put it. These kind of countries now you've gone with a business model where there's a lot of reliance on institutional sales and, also the biosimilar complex product. So it is not an intensive sales force kind of a thing. Unlike, Russia, India, where it is a completely different model. So having said that, we have, planned on almost every aspect of our, each category is assigned. We are analyzing in great detail. We are doing a lot of analytics-driven kind of a cost optimization initiative, which will continue.
So, okay, so this is likely to be the base, about 22-23% of sales.
Which one?
The SG&A as a total group?
No, SG&A is at 31.1% this quarter, which actually, if you see last year, it was 32.8%, and in the previous quarter, it was 35.5%. From 35.5, it has been brought down to 31.1.
And this 31 percentage plus minus 1 or 2% is possible.
It is. That is the range we are looking at. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. So thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, we will take the last question from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Just two short ones. One on generic Revlimid. You know, the patent, the IPR filing dates, one of them is past October 20th, I thought. Do you have any specific strategy, or how is Dr. Reddy thinking about this opportunity?
Big asset for us in litigation, you know, so let it play out. It's just early stage. You know, we have a, I think we think that we have a good position, but too early to comment on this. As you know, the product patent goes in 2020, I guess, and the others are in litigation. Yeah, others are in litigation. So difficult to comment, but yeah, I mean, big asset for us.
Okay. So you think it's a medium term opportunity? Would that be a fair comment or no?
No. How?
Okay.
I just said it's in litigation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. My second question is on again Suboxone. Just a follow up. The TAD is in Q4. You said, you know, the district court has given it in your favor. Is there a, if all things come through and if the FDA gives the approval, do you think there is a potential for an at launch risk sometime next year, do you think?
I think we are very focused on the approval of the asset at the moment. As I said, we remain very optimistic about the litigation part of it. And what's the current focus is getting the asset to approval.
But I thought that you're not like you don't have the first to file on this one, right? So is there do you know how the FDA would treat this case, because the other guys are all stuck up? So any thoughts there would be helpful.
Yeah, my information is as good as yours. 30 months, within 30 months, the approval didn't come through for the first filer. Beyond that, how it will be treated is as agency's prerogative.
Sure. Okay. My last question. You know, you're given a lot of the numbers on margins and stuff. Would you also venture to give us some kind of an EBITDA margin guidance for the
no.
4 fight? Okay. Okay.
No.
Thank you. I was just trying my luck. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you
very much, ladies and gentlemen. Due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shaunak Savla for closing comments.
Hi. Thank you all for joining the Q&A session today. In case of any additional clarifications, please reach out to the investor relations team. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dr. Reddy's Laboratories Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.